I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now joining us is Dylan Arvela, who you may know from the TBTB podcast or the Box to Box podcast, if you want to elongate that. He's here to talk to us all things Manchester United, and there certainly is no shortage there, as Jose Mourinho has great trouble staying out of the news. So I guess let's start with Mourinho. What have your thoughts been on him lately?
So Mourinho's had quite a week since the Chelsea game where he was whispering in Conte's ear about how teams should be celebrating, which is quite ironic considering Mourinho's past. He also had an interview in his hotel claiming about how he's really upset that he still hasn't settled into Manchester United and into Manchester and how he's hasn't had time to spend with his family. He has two children. I think they're 17 and 20 years old. Spent time with his wife, saying how they're in London, how they don't have time to see him. However, it's strange that he's still living in a hotel rather than, you know, renting a house in Manchester so he can sort of bed in. It's probably not the smartest move on his part. But yeah, from that, he's been pretty cagey with the media in the past week. But he did have a sly grin on his face after the win against Manchester City in the middle of the week. But he capped his week off with getting sent off, sent from the touchline against Burnley after sort of spraying Mark Clattenburg at halftime for not giving a penalty that I don't think the penalty was there, to be fair. But yeah, he seems to be, for what a lot of people think is one of the most confident men in football, he seems to show that he's under quite a lot of pressure at the moment.
All right, something that people have been asking about is kind of the big players. Why isn't Ibrahimovic scoring? Why isn't Pogba clicking? I've talked, I think, with you before about how maybe a 4-3-3 would suit Pogba better, although I think most people would expect Mourinho isn't about to randomly change the tactic that he's used for so many years. How do you think you can get the best out of the squad right now?
Well, that's a very interesting question, especially in regards to Pogba. Against Burnley, Pogba actually played quite well. And in fact, United generally played pretty well in that match. And he has shown glimpses, such as in his debut and in the game against Fenerbahce a week or so ago. And even in the poorer games, he has shown signs that he's able to pick up the ball and run past people with his power, because he's just a very powerful player. But I've heard a lot of analysis in the past, especially from experts that focus on like Serie A and the French national team, saying that he has a problem with not knowing what he wants to be, whether that's a number 10, a roaming midfielder, a central winger, or someone in like the Pirlo role. Of course, he played with him for a long time, a few years, so you'd understand why he'd like to play that role. And I can sort of see what they're meaning now. He's trying too much and not really producing. I don't think it's going to be a Di Maria situation, because I think he does have friends in Manchester, so I'm not sure whether he feels sort of isolated from the team, because, yeah, like I said, he has a lot of people that he knows and he's been at the club before. But yeah, he's trying too much. I do think 4-3-3 would be a better system, but like you said, Mourinho's played 4-2-3-1 his entire career, and the premise about going to 4-3-3, you'd also need to change the style to be more inclined to attack, which I think would suit Pogba. And I don't know whether Mourinho's got that, will be so willing to change the whole system just to fit one player, because he hasn't really done that in his career in the past. And you look at Ibrahimovic, probably the second biggest signing for us in the summer. He's gone 6 matches without scoring now, which for another man sort of like Mourinho, that's known for his confidence, he is looking a bit off at the moment. When he's not scoring, the fact that he's not very quick, and in fact he's very slow, becomes quite poignant. But his skill is still clear, but there needs to be bodies near him, and that's sort of why Mourinho has been playing the likes of Lingard and Rashford near him. Very quick players, very mobile players, to sort of help him, but I don't think they've gotten close enough. Mata, who's actually played pretty well from an individual standpoint in the last few games, but from the team's perspective, he probably isn't getting close enough to Ibrahimovic either. Our other signings have been, one of our only good signings, Eric Bailly, has been quite good. He has shown glimpses that he can go off the rails. The first goal against Manchester City, he was at fault for that. And he does go in for some wild challenges, which, you know, on another day could see him sent off. But now he's out with a knee injury for up to 2 months, which is a major concern, because we've also got injury concerns with Chris Smalling. Marcos Rojo isn't very good. Concerns about Daley Blind's defending. So that's ended up being quite a substantial loss. And the other big signing, who was the player that I was most looking forward to this season, was Henrik Mkhitaryan. Came off as player of the season in the Bundesliga last year. He hasn't really got a look in. He got the first half in the Manchester derby where he got pulled. And then a lot of people were saying he shouldn't have started that game because he wasn't fit, which looked to be the case. And now apparently he's been back fit for a couple of weeks now, and he hasn't even got in the matchday squads for the last couple of Premier League fixtures and the EFL Cup game against Manchester City. So it's very strange what's happening at Manchester United. Of course, there's the Schweinsteiger situation, which has, I hope it isn't a similar situation with Mkhitaryan, because there's a lot of money for that to occur. But the signing situation has been pretty more misses than hits.
Yeah, Baye picks up a very serious injury. A question that we've had a lot is, how are you going to sort this back four? Because Baye came in and was doing so well. Smalling and Blint obviously did a very good job last year. You ended with the second best defense. But you pretty much started conceding goals as soon as Smalling came in. Before that, you had actually started the season pretty well. Baye's not there for a while now. What's wrong with this defense right now? Is it that they're not getting the protection required in front of them, or is there something that's broken down at the back?
Yeah, I think you put forward a very interesting point in regards to not having anyone screening the back line. And that was clear in the game against Chelsea, where there was numerous occasions where the Chelsea attack was just running directly at the Manchester United back four. That's the downside of having Pogba and Herrera as your two holding midfielders, because they're not naturally inclined to be defending. And I don't think we really have a player that's made for sort of breaking up attacking players in a way that like Kante or Matic at Chelsea is used to doing. We have Schneiderlin, but he's another player that Mourinho just doesn't seem to fancy. And it's interesting because Louis van Gaal didn't really fancy him last season. But he, from his time at Southampton, he seems to play a most adept to sort of step in and secure the area in front of the back four. You did mention that we were stronger before Chris Smalling, and I am not the biggest Chris Smalling fan. I've said on many occasions that for where United want to be as a top European club, a top European team rather, Smalling isn't good enough. And the fact is, one of our captains shows that he's definitely in the plans of Mourinho's plans in keeping him in the first team, which is a concern because I don't think he's as good as some people, especially in the English media, have made out for him to be. Rojo looks to be one of Mourinho's options at centre back, but he's quite an average defender. I've also said this on a number of occasions. When we signed him from Sporting Lisbon, he wasn't their best defender, and that's not a good sign for Manchester United signing a Sporting Lisbon defender. Shaw's back into the fold now, and he'll probably stay there because he is a better fullback than Daley Blind. And Valencia, he's actually picked up a broken hand, which will see him out for 6 weeks. But I imagine that's enough time to see Darmian sort of bed himself back into the side, because I think Darmian has the potential to be a really world-class right-back, especially seeing him in spells for Italy during the Euros. I think he's our right-back going forward. In defence, he's usually a lot sounder than Valencia, and he still has the ability to get forward. But yeah, in the meantime, until Smalling gets back, I'm not 100% sure what the injury is. I think it might be a hamstring injury, but it's just a niggle because he was meant to be back for the Burnley game. But in the meantime, we'll be rolling with Daley Blind and Marcus Rojo, which is not the most secure defence, in my opinion.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I just realized that I didn't ask you to recap the Burnley match at the top of the show. So let's do that now. Obviously, it was a 0-0. Herrera gets the double yellow leading to a red. But I saw some of the statistics, like the shots that were just crazy in your favor. Obviously ends up being a draw, though. What was your view of that match?
Yeah, so going into the match, United were extreme favourites, but I wasn't as confident as, well, the bookmakers at least, because Burnley's style of play wasn't conducive to a Man United side that's failed to break down a lot of teams. But that wasn't really the case, because we registered 11 shots on target and about 35 shots in the whole game, but a lot of the shots that weren't on target were from in front of the Burnley defence. But the ones that were on target, Tom Heaton, he was exceptional and kept all of them out. And for me, he was the man of the match in that particular game. Also, Michael Keane, their centre back, also played extremely well. He registered 12 clearances in that match, and both were ex-Manchester United players. And to be fair, we were talking about Man United's defensive problems. I don't think Michael Keane would be too far off getting a start in this Manchester United side, because I think he's a real quality defender, and I can see him playing at a higher level than Burnley, and he should be in the England fold, from my opinion, because he's had an exceptional season. But back to United, the back line was savaged by injury, like we were talking about. No Bailly, Smalling was ruled out, Valencia was ruled out, Shaw and Darmian came back into the side, Rojo was at centre back. And if we were facing a full strength top four side, I would predict this back four to have some serious problems, especially the Rojo element, because I think I really do not rate him, and I don't know if Blind. I think Blind to play centre back needs to have a fairly stable person next to him, because defensively, I don't really rate his his game as a center back. As we mentioned, Ibrahimovic has now gone six games without scoring. But in this game, a lot of that came down to Heaton. He was tremendous. Some of the saves he was making were incredible, and the fact that we couldn't get any past him sort of reminded me. Well, it definitely reminded me of Lee Grant for Stoke a couple of weeks ago against us. And Ibrahimovic also had a glaring miss in the last minute of the game, which he really should have done better. But you've seen that it was from about a yard out, and you've seen the best players in the world miss glaring chances, and that happens. Mourinho, he was sent from the touchline at halftime. He was pretty upset with Mark Lattenberg over the decision not to give Darmian a penalty. Darmian went down after a challenge from Flanagan. But for mine, it wasn't. I don't think it was a foul. I don't think Flanagan really got contact with Darmian. And there's also the argument that can be made that it wasn't even inside the box. So I think that Mourinho, he's got a lot of things to worry about, but that isn't one of them. And also, yeah, Herrera got sent off. And a lot of Manchester United fans are going mental about this. But I think that Herrera's got a problem in his game where he rushes in to tackles, which leads to stupid yellow cards. And the first one, there's the argument that can be made that it isn't a yellow, but that's probably a 50-50. And then from that point, he does slip into the second challenge. However, it's another example of him just running in overzealously and losing control of himself. And that's basically, if you lose control of what you're doing, you're opening yourself up to a yellow card. So I'm not too concerned about him getting sent off because I feel it was justified. It is concerning that we were without one of our main players for the rest of the game, though. So I can see why he'd be angry, but it's all down to Herrera, in my opinion. And like I was mentioning Lee Grant earlier, this really reminded me of the Stoke match where we just couldn't get the goal we needed, because I'm not too concerned about this United performance because we played quite well. It was just exceptional keeping and missing of glaring opportunities that cost us the 3 points in the end.
Yeah, you already talked us through the defense, and obviously David De Gea is your best goalkeeper, and we talked a little bit about formation changes and everything like that. But in midfield and up front, what do you think your best front five or six is at the moment? And do you think that that's what Mourinho's been playing, or is there some combination of players that you think would be more effective than what we've seen thus far?
Well, I think that Zlatan Ibrahimovic has to be the striker, because if he isn't played as a striker, I feel he will get disgruntled. And he still has the ability to score 20 goals if we give him if we get enough bodies near him. So in my best 11, he's definitely our striker, and United would probably be playing the 4-3-3 system. But then again, before I mention the team, that's probably not going to be something that Mourinho turns to. And in that, you'd have a midfield of Carrick behind Herrera and Pogba. Pogba on the left, so it gives him a channel to run up and down and provide and score. But you also have the recycling ability of the ball of Carrick and Herrera, two players that I think are very similar in the way they are able to maintain possession. But I think you can't have Carrick by himself. You couldn't have, say, Carrick, Pogba and Fellaini. You need a Herrera because I feel he provides the legs for Carrick there. And then in front of them, I think Martial, he hasn't really got into the side this year, but I think he's our best option out on the left. I think he's an exceptional talent, and Rashford has been playing okay out on the left, but I feel that Martial should come back into the fold. And if he can get close to Ibrahimovic, I can see them forming a very, very dynamic partnership. And I want to see Henrik Mkhitaryan. He's, in my opinion, our most creative player from what he did at Borussia Dortmund. And I want to see him in the side. I want to see him providing for Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Martial, and even scoring goals himself. And I'm not sure what needs to occur. There's been talk about that he's not adjusting to the style of Mourinho, which is concerning because that makes it sound like Mourinho doesn't want creative players in his side. And that leaves out the players like, obviously, Rooney, Mata, Rashford, Lingard, who have been playing. Not Rooney, of course, but the latter three. But Rashford, his time will come. Lingard's a fan favourite because of what he's done. So, for example, the FA Cup final goal, and he's a very likeable character, but he's probably not good enough for, sort of like what I was mentioning with Smalling earlier, for the club, for the team that United want to be, Lingard's not good enough for the United side. And Mata has his qualities, and Mourinho even gave him the captaincy, the captain's armband in the game against Burnley, so clearly, they've gotten over whatever happened there. But I don't think he fits into a 4-3-3. But with Mourinho insisting on playing 4-2-3-1, Mata seems like a player that he can rely on in games that aren't like the high profile games like Chelsea and Manchester City, where he wants a midfield that's going to be more robust. But yeah, for mine, you need to get Mkhitaryan and Martial into the side.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Obviously, at the start of the season, people thought you'd do very well this year. Obviously, not the start you would have liked, currently sitting eighth. Have your expectations for where you'll end the season changed?
The expectations have definitely changed, but we still have ambitions winning the league, but we're, like you said, we're 8 points off City, Arsenal and Liverpool. The latter two, who have been playing exceptional football for weeks, and City, who started the season really well. They had a dry patch, but even their game against West Brom, they were quite fluid. And we're also 7 points off the top four, which is Chelsea. And obviously they battered us the other week. So, and there isn't really that much time for Mourinho to turn this bus around in order to still keep us in the hunt for top four. But regardless, that's what United's going to have to push for. And outside the league, we're in the quarterfinals of the EFL Cup after beating Man City. But I'm not sure, I'm still not 100% sure how keen everyone is on that competition. But now we're in the quarterfinals, Mourinho's probably best off trying to win that, something that he can at least hold on to. And then there's also the Europa League. As you know, that's an outlet for Champions League football. But also, as you know, once you get to the last four or eight clubs, it gets quite competitive. And that's a, if you put all your eggs in that basket, you can be pretty upset at the end of the season. Sort of like Liverpool found out last season, but from the lineups that Mourinho has been playing in that competition, there are signs that he is like, well, we might have to take this competition seriously. But yeah, it's, the expectations have definitely changed. I expected us to be nailed on top two this season and within, you know, a win or two of being the top side in England. But now I'm, no one's really sure of where United's heading because of how inconsistent the sides have been.
All right, and you kind of mentioned Mourinho and where the focus will lie. The media started asking the question, so we may as well ask you. Will Mourinho be your manager next season?
Mourinho will be the manager of Manchester United unless he completely loses the plot in terms of what he says to the media. I'll also add the caveat that minus top four, and given Manchester United's recent record with managers, I wouldn't be surprised if the club made a change. But I'm always of the opinion that you should stick with someone unless you have a better option. And I'm not Mourinho's biggest fan, and I hate the chop and change culture of football, and especially how it's coming to the United in the last three seasons. I think he will be there because I don't see anyone becoming available. Like, you look at who are United going to get? Ancelotti's a Bayern Munich. I can see him as an option in a couple of years' time, maybe. Pochettino, I feel like he's comfortable and happy at Tottenham. I think the only club he's going to be going to is maybe Barcelona in a few years' time. But I don't see him coming to Manchester United. And really, who else is there? There's Thomas Tuchel, but he's also not the most experienced manager, and he hasn't got a record of winning things.
It'd be hilarious if you went to go get Simeone, because he's also defensively minded.
Yeah, and he can't speak English. So it's just as practical. To be fair, Simeone, if you're happy to keep him for 5 years, he could do something. But in the first year, I don't think Manchester United would have the players to even make top four under Simeone. I don't see the managers available unless you're going to go for a mid-table manager, and we've done that. And the fans get on their back straight away, and this is why in the end of the season last year, leading into this season, I was very unhappy about sacking of Louis van Gaal, because if you're looking at the whole situation, you should have been aware that it wasn't just a manager problem. I feel it's a recruitment problem. I feel that it's something more internal. Like, and a lot of people point to how Sir Alex Ferguson's sides were quite poor in his last few seasons. It wasn't obviously that he was out through black magic, he was able to pull the club through and win the Premier League still, but it clearly there's issues further than the manager. And if you just keep changing it for change's sake, I don't think it works. Maybe if you're trying to avoid relegation, you can get a bounce out of changing managers, but for what United want to do, I don't see any point in sacking Mourinho, especially after one season, unless he loses the plot and just rants on everything.
Fair enough. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to tell the folks where they can reach you?
It's been a pleasure being on, and you can find me on Twitter at Dylan Iloy Arvella. Thank you.
Yep, thanks so much, and best of luck with all that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.